Beloved people, this morning we're privileged to give First Holy Communion to Mr. Kelly, Mr. Gerald Kelly. Please permit him to come up first to receive communion. And I ask you in your charity to pray for him, that God will give him all the graces that he needs, not only for today, but for the rest of his life, that he will know full well what it is, what the sweetness of God really is. I ask another very special favor of you for these coming 3 or 4 days. I have not said anything about it because I did not want to let the word get out on the highways for all of the obvious reasons, and that is that beginning tomorrow night we are going to have a little, I guess you can call it a conference. There will be 4 bishops and 4 priests here, meeting here tomorrow night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and leaving sometime Thursday morning. Not that anything particularly important is going to be accomplished. No great decisions are going to be made. But it is an activity of something that is bringing these men together. If nothing else, and if for no other reason, to come into this church, which happens to be ours, could have been any other place, but that these men are coming from different parts of the world. Actually, 2 are coming from Europe. 1, a man's coming from Mexico, and the others are coming from this country. That these men from these various parts can come into this church in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which is reserved in this church, and can together offer up their love and their prayer in unity to Almighty God. And that's beautiful. And that's wonderful. It's a lot of trouble, be sure of that. But isn't it worth all the trouble? I have a fear that it will grow, and of course it will be here that they will be a-coming. But so be it, regardless of the troubles that are involved. So I want you to pray, and pray most earnestly that Almighty God will be here together with these men, with us men, and that we can somehow, all of us, come to a greater understanding of what it is to love God, that comes before anything. So pray, and pray that others will come and join in future days, so that we are one priesthood. We are one in the love of God. And we have to pray that all of this disunity and discord and dis whatever you want to call it will come to an end, and that we will all be about our business for the love of God. I want your best prayers. Mass this week, for those, rather I should say, beginning Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings, will be a little bit later at 6 for these people. We will say our masses earlier. We will say our masses earlier and Lee get out of the way. And they will be saying their masses. We've got them scheduled for 6:30. And those of you who can, it would be wonderful for you to be here. Imagine that you could be here and 4 bishops saying mass at the same time. 4 bishops. That's awesome, isn't it? Would God is giving us the grace for this to happen. This morning, of course, Miss Catherine Girardi will crown the Blessed Mother. Today is Mother's Day, and there's so much that could be said that there's just no time to say it about Mother. And the devil is particularly interested in destroying that concept, because it is with Mother that all things good begin. And is it not so with the Blessed Mother herself, that all things good began with her? Today, the whole concept of Mother has degenerated fiercely to the extent that the very word itself is today an inappropriate word. But we, my beloved people, must make it appropriate. We must put it on the level that it belongs. And if people laugh at us because we do hold Mother in such high regard, then let the world laugh. If we choose, if it is our choice, that our Mother has to be, or is rather, modeled after the Mother of God, Mary, if it is our choice that this should be, what's wrong with that? Not only has the world forgotten Mother, but the world has forgotten Mary. And in forgetting Mary, the world has forgotten Jesus. We no longer fit in this world, do we? It's almost like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit, because the world has got other considerations that it considers far more important than what we consider important. And is it our fault? Are we sick in the mind? Are we in need of psychiatric treatment? Because we have the grace, the understanding of that which comes first. But it has come so that those of us who do put first things first are in need of psychiatric treatment, as the world sees it. But where is love? Today, love has also degenerated into what you know it has degenerated. But love is God. And who can understand this love? Who can understand this God from whence love comes? And is it our fault that they are miserable who do not understand this love, and that we are content because we do understand this love? Is that our fault? Are we to be condemned because we understand where love comes? Is that our fault? Are we to be held guilty of some crime? Of course not. Are we to be held guilty if we go all the way? Are we to be held guilty if, when we enter this church or others like it, that when we look at the tabernacle in this church, we see something? Is that something to hide? Is that something to be ashamed of? Is that something to run away from? Simply because we have the gift to see it? If others refuse to see it, That's not our fault. If others prefer to eat only bread, is that our fault? If others prefer to eat only bread, then let us say, let them have their bread. Is it our fault if our tastes have gone higher? Are we to be held guilty for something because we prefer to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ and that we are not satisfied simply with eating bread? Is that our fault? Is that demonstrative of mental derangement? Are we mentally sick because we see it that way? Hardly. And so, my beloved people, today, as we honor this woman who sees all of this, let us ask her to help us. Let us ask her to protect us from every harm, particularly right now when we have all the situation of this unbelievable weather that we're all suffering and experiencing. Ask her to blow these clouds away with her gentle breath, and that she send the angels who with their wings can blow the clouds away, that we will always be protected. It is indeed wearisome to have to endure these fears that we have. Remember, be mindful, my beloved people, that we do have this candle burning here constantly. It's our storm lamp, we call it, for our protection from any storm that will come our way. But let us not forget to pray for those who have suffered damage or injury or death because of storm. So, this is our religion. And if our religion answers for us our needs, gives answer to our needs, is that wrong? We must beware of being churchgoers. We're more than that. You didn't come here this morning simply because you're supposed to go to church on Sunday morning, wherever it is, whether it's in a shoe or in a cathedral. You came to church this morning for one reason and one reason alone, that is to give honor and glory to God. And that this honor and glory that you offer up to God is for your own salvation. That it is not just something artificial or cosmetic or pasted on that you put on Sunday morning as you do a dress or a suit. Pray, ask her this morning to teach you how to teach us how to love. Isn't it terrible that we have forgotten about love? We don't understand it. We don't comprehend it. Love is an activity of the heart. It is not an activity of the mind. The mind does not understand love. It can define love. It can send messages to the heart that the heart should love. But the mind cannot tell the heart how to love. And until the heart conquers the mind, I will repeat that. Until the heart is able to conquer the mind, nothing that we do will have any value. Did you hear that? I will repeat it again, because you have to know this. Until the heart is able to conquer the mind, nothing that we do will have value. Why? Because if it is an activity of the mind, it is nothing more than an intellectual thing. Because the mind tells me to be good. The mind tells me to be honest. The mind tells me to do this. The mind tells me to do that. But we have indeed in here, we've used this expression before, that one can live in a monastery for 50 years or more and be the example of obedience and kindness and charity, etc., etc., and etc. Example for 50 years, who can stand out in the presence of his superior, and his superior can say, that's the man you have to imitate. Look how perfect he is. And that man might well go to hell. And why? Because everything he did was artificial. Always remember the poor, unfortunate Pharisee who came to the front of the church and who reminded God of all of his virtues. Of all the good things that he always did, that he did no wrong. Everything was right about him. And yet, you know the story. He went home without justification. My obedience, my honesty, my convictions must come from my heart, because that's where it all takes place. If it comes from my heart, it is not artificial. It is not cosmetic. It is not pasted upon me. It is not painted upon me. It is real. And that's where God goes to look. So, my beloved people, this is the day that we must ask the Lady to get for us the graces that we need in order to save our souls. This is the day. She will hear you. You don't have to go and follow all of these, I don't know, appearances. It seems that she is appearing every place nowadays, on the streets, in the stores, in restaurants, you name it, she's been there. I don't need her appearance to tell me about her. I can find out everything I need to know about her right here. The message is as complete right here as it is any place you can think of, right here. But I have got to sit, and I have got to be quiet, and I've got to listen. If I insist on doing all the talking, I will not hear her. In silence will I hear her. And in silence will she tell me all about it. It is right here. This is where she is, in her little altar. Wherever this little altar may appear, whether it is in this church or wherever you look. And it is your love that has put this altar here. We did the work, yes, you didn't do the work. But Nevertheless, it is your love that put this altar here. And it's got to be your love that's got to keep this altar where it belongs, today and forever. She's your mother, and she's my mother. And everything we want must come from her. And if we pray with what we, in the way we're supposed to pray, we will get it, if it's for our good. So as we proceed now with the rest of the year, and we've been working on prayer, we're going to continue to work on prayer, because people don't know how to pray. They think prayer is just something that you do, a formula that you recite. But we've got to understand prayer, because prayer is the expression of love. One word of prayer, one word of an expression of love is sufficient, and it is more powerful than all the armies that have ever walked the face of the earth put together. One word. I wish you the best. If we have the courage enough to put Mother back where she belongs, I think that we will be able to start breathing again.